This is St. Louis Public Radio. Age-appropriate gender-affirming care for transgender kids is supported by the American Academy of Pediatrics and the American Medical Association. But in Missouri, such care has been attacked by lawmakers and other officials who say it's harmful to minors. Those efforts have come as critics have condemned the care at St. Louis Children's Hospital's Transgender Center. Missouri lawmakers have also introduced legislation to limit gender-affirming care. As St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fintum reports, transgender patients, their families, and doctors say many people are getting the wrong idea about treatment.
Tony LaMantia told his parents he was a transgender boy when he was 12. He was assigned female at birth, but knew it didn't feel right.
And so I spent a lot of time, you know, advocating for myself and being like, this is what I want. This isn't a phase. This isn't like something that I saw somebody else on the internet do and they, you know, they were cool and popular, so I should hop on this train.
He had a supportive family. He started socially transitioning around the house in Webster Groves, wearing men's clothes and using he/him pronouns. He eventually came out at school. He says he intentionally took his time.
There was the risk of, like, what if I changed my mind? What if I tried to go back on it? Some of these things are irreversible that you do, and I wanted to make sure that I, you know, didn't regret anything.
LaMantia was considering different types of gender-affirming care. That's medical and psychological treatment and social changes that support a person's gender identity. Doctors recommend it for people whose gender assigned at birth doesn't match their perception of themselves. LaMantia says gender-affirming care can include well-known options like hormone replacement therapy and surgery, but also mental health treatment and social transitioning. After years of therapy and doctor's visits, he eventually started taking testosterone, which deepened his voice and allowed him to grow a mustache. After he turned 18, he got a mastectomy.
Not everybody goes for the medical aspect of a transition. You know, transition is different for everybody, but for where I wanted to go with it, I was like, the social transition part, once that's out of the way, I definitely want to medically transition, and so then I just went from there.
In Missouri, Republican lawmakers and officials are trying to limit gender-affirming medical care for kids and teens, saying it's harmful and experimental. But transgender people say those characterizations don't match their own experience. Medical professionals say gender-affirming care shouldn't be rushed.
It's not a one-size-fits-all. It's a very individualized process. It's a relationship and discussion over often many years.
That's Jeremy Goldbach. He's a professor and clinical social worker at Washington University who studies mental health in LGBTQ kids and teens. Goldbach says, with very few exceptions, doctors don't prescribe hormone therapy or surgery for kids before they reach puberty. Many kids socially transition without any medical treatment first. Some families of young trans patients decide to give children puberty blockers, which delay their development. He says providing gender-affirming care of all types reduces mental health problems and the risk of suicide for many trans and gender nonconforming people.
As we get closer to puberty, that becomes a much more pressing issue. And that tends to be, in the research, when kids, the emotional and mental health implications of not transitioning really intensify.
After puberty, patients could start hormones when they reach their mid-teens, but doctors say surgery for trans people under 18 is rare. Dr. Maddie Deutsch is the president of the American arm of the World Professional Association of Transgender Health, the organization that distributes widely used standards of transgender care. The 260-page document is considered by many medical providers to be the gold standard for providing gender-affirming treatment.
It's quite clear that this is not something that you just wake up one day and walk into a doctor's office and get. If there are clinics that are doing that, then they're doing it wrong.
Deutsch explains the standards aren't rules or regulations. Even people within the medical community sometimes disagree about whether they're the best course to take.
You know, you have to thread the needle on this work. I mean, someone who's properly trained in doing this work is going to be neither someone who's going to say, hi, nice to meet you, here's your testosterone, but is also not going to be someone who's going to sit and stroke their chin and stigmatize or otherwise pathologize someone. And
experts say because every person has a different concept of their gender and a different medical history, hard and fast rules about when a person should start hormones, for example, are difficult to make. Most kids who are trans or gender nonconforming socially transition before any medical treatment. The World Professional Association of Transgender Health Standards recommend minors show persistent gender incongruence over months or even years before they receive care. Deutsch says the organization's standards recommend informed consent from parents and kids about the risks of puberty blockers and other procedures.
You want to be a blank slate. You want to hear what they have to say and help them help figure out what is really going on inside this person's head.
Some are worried providers aren't following best standards, though. In February, a former worker at the Transgender Center at Washington University, one of the only places in the region to provide gender-affirming care to minors, accused the clinic of rushing people through treatment. In an online op-ed, she says the clinic's workers were not informing patients of procedures risks or long-term side effects. A WashU spokeswoman did not respond to requests for an interview about the clinic's medical care for trans patients. The university's released a statement saying practitioners there are held to the highest professional and ethical standards. Patients in the St. Louis region say it took months or years before receiving hormones and other medical interventions, so they're confused when they hear accusations of people being rushed through treatment.
I absolutely was informed over and over again of any sort of risk by both the therapist and any endocrinologist I saw. The hurdles people have to go through to get any sort of care is pretty preventative. Of rush.
It took years to get some of the things I wanted. And so I was just kind of shocked when they were like, it was very easy. You know, they're just giving stuff out to kids.
It's not easy. There's so much bureaucracy involved. Just trying to call the right person, trying to get a referral. It was so difficult to even just get a hold of their office.
That's Joey Borelli, Tony LaMantia, and EH. We're just using his initials because he fears discrimination. They're in their late teens or early 20s and all started receiving care when they were teenagers. Borelli says he wishes people would trust young patients can understand the magnitude of their medical decisions.
I mean, that's the kind of decision making you do kind of with any decision or large decision is like, do the benefits outweigh the risks? Oh yeah, absolutely, 100%.
Despite the hours of treatment and the back and forth with insurance companies, EH says it was worth it.
The experts in their field say that my identity is a real identity and that this is actually how we help people.
But he and other patients in Missouri are worried about other trans kids that will come after them and if they'll be able to get the same help. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.